One of the things that happens is Pastor Tony doesn't thank the choir all that often because he's part of the choir. So I think as a congregation, we should all give them a round of applause to thank them for their time and effort, all that they do to make our worship as true and as kind. And the organist and pianist isn't bad either. We'll keep him. Our second lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, a parable about dining and being invited and decisions to be made. Listen, and if you'd like to follow along, it is on page 77 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Jesus also said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case that they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to Jesus, "Blessed is anyone who eats bread in the kingdom of God." And Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slaves to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a piece of land and I must go and see it. Please accept my regrets.' And another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married, and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. The owner of the house became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and the lanes of this town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there still is room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go into the roads and the lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, those who were first invited will not taste my dinner.'" The word of the Lord. I'm a child of the 50s and 60s. Yes, guys, I'm old. But I have to say, one of the things for my life that I look forward to each day is the mail. The mail. If I'm home and I see the mailman drive up, I just can't wait to see what he's put in the mailbox. Or when I get home from work, before I even go in my house, I always run over and see if the mail has been delivered. I don't know why I anticipate this so much. Really, I don't feel this way about an email or a text from any of you. Any of you. Well, maybe my grandson. All right. And usually, you know, it's just some junky advertisements, the electric bill, maybe a magazine. But if it's a good day, a really good day, maybe I got a note or a card from a friend. And then sometimes you get the best surprise out of all. That larger envelope that comes, the real nice stationery with the special stamp, and you know you have received an invitation. Now, when you see an invitation, especially one like this, it's usually a wedding invitation. Now, sometimes you know the invitation was coming. Maybe a niece or nephew's getting married. Maybe you know that the son or daughter of a close neighbor. Or maybe it's an invitation you hope to receive, but you weren't sure they were going to invite you. You know, you're on the borderline of their invitation list. We've all made those invitation lists. Don't think we haven't. And then maybe it's one you really didn't want. Oh no, if I have to go here, I will see crazy Uncle Joe. Oh no, if I have to go, cranky Aunt Mary will be there. Maybe not. But it's an invitation. And being invited puts pressure on you. You have to make some decisions now. Well, check the dates. Is your calendar open? check the location. Is it someplace you want to go? Is it a city far away? Or is it just down the block? Can you bring someone? Are you supposed to bring someone? Will you have to go alone, maybe? Oh, well, what decisions am I going to make about this? So you think, and you think about it, and you decide, I'm going. But still, it's not the end of your decisions. Once you decide to go, you have to think, well, what will I wear? Will I need new shoes? You all know I say yes to that one. Yep, I think new shoes are appropriate. And what about a gift? Is money appropriate? Do they have a gift registry? Invitations bring decisions, and decisions and decisions. I want you to hear this parallel parable, which is hard to say, from Matthew's gospel. It's a little different from the one you just heard in Luke, but it's concerning the same idea of being invited, and especially being invited to a marriage feast. The version I'm going to read to you comes from a children's illustrated Bible, so it's a little bit more of a story. But listen. Once upon a time, there lived a king who had a dearly beloved son. The prince was about to get married, and the king gave orders for a fantastic wedding banquet. Only the very best would do for his son. Menus were discussed, recipes were tasted, wine was ordered, entertainment was booked, invitations were sent out, seating plans were drawn up, silver was polished, flowers were arranged. Months and months of preparation. It was all ready. So the king sent out his servants to summon the guests to the celebration. But the servants returned all alone. Trembling, they ventured before the king one by one and gave the guests the pathetic excuses they had. One guest said, "Well, I just bought a field, and really, I have to go and plow it right away." And another said that he bought a herd of oxen and had some urgent work that they had to do. And a third said he couldn't come as he just had been married himself and he'd never leave his wife. And on it went. The king was deeply offended and disappointed by the rudeness of his friends and family. "Go and invite them again," he roared, and sent the servants scurrying off again. But again, not a soul came to the party. "That's it. I've had enough," said the king. "This is an ungrateful lot. They don't deserve to come to my party. Let them go." So he called for the servants one more time. "Go out into the streets of the kingdom and bring me all the homeless people you can find, the poor, the lame, the blind. Invite them. Invite them all. And I'm going to give them the party of their lives. And there's going to be a special robe that each of them will be invited to wear." And the banquet hall was soon filled with joyous sounds of feasting. And the head at the table was the king, and he was the happiest of all. He sat and watched as the total strangers ate and danced. He was so pleased. They were enjoying his hospitality so much more than his friends might have. Suddenly he noticed, in the rows of guests, there was a man who was dressed in rags. His plate was piled high, and he was obviously enjoying himself. And the king sprang angrily to his feet and marched down to that man. "Where is your robe?" the king demanded. "Everyone invited by my servant that was given a robe. Where is yours? Get out if you don't have it." And the man mumbled and sputtered an excuse, but the king threw him out. "Fling him out," he said to the servants, and then the party carried on. I wanted you to hear both of those parables. These two parables have been weighing in my heart for a few months. Last year during our Bible study, those of you who attended, Deb Ridgecreek is smiling. She knows where this is going. I've worried and I've wondered about the parables. I've expressed how little grace I thought there was in some of the parables, including these two maybe, that the story seemed so black and white, so cut and dry, so in and out, in a world where life is filled with so many shades of gray, how can that be? How can decisions about our faith, in our belief, our God and humanity, how could it be that simple? How could it be just yes or no responses? I have to say, this is the crux of my theological ponderings and discussions, my wondering about grace and the mystery of God, the idea of forgiveness and freedom, the demand, maybe that this coincides with reconciliation and justice. I often think about these things, and I've been praying and studying these two parables for some time, thinking about God and humanity, and I'm going to tell you my thoughts, and they're my thoughts, and probably heresy, so just know that I'm always accused of being a heretic, so just know that that's where this is going to come. And yet I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in his death and resurrection, and I believe it's for all the world, but in a different way than I ever felt before. The Space for God group is reading a book called Sinners in the Hands of a Loving God, written by Brian Zahand. And I'd like to share this quote from the book. Quote, "The cross is a cataclysmic collision of violence and forgiveness. The violence part of the cross is entirely human. The forgiveness part of the cross is entirely divine," end quote. The cross is the point where the fully human and fully divine Jesus changes the violence of humans into the grace, love, and forgiveness of God. And the resurrection proclaims that this death in this life can no longer prevail over God's kingdom, that it's changed. And here is how it's changed for me. I now see Jesus as the great host, sending out invitations to all. Here is grace and reconciliation, forgiveness, love, and justice. All are invited, but it is an invitation. And like invitations, you, me, the world has to make the decision of whether you're going to accept and participate in this invitation. Have you decided to attend? Today, as you are here in worship, most of you probably have decided to attend. But are you living as someone who knows they've been invited? Are you considering the gifts that you're bringing to the party and to God's world? Are you wondering how you can help others come to the party? Are you treating friend and neighbor, family, the world, knowing that Jesus has invited them as guests too? Are you letting the distractions of this world, the fields to plow, the oxen to feed, to stop you from fully participating in this feast? Are you remembering to prepare, to dress properly, to study, to pray, to worship? Are you remembering that invitations bring decisions? I pray that each of you are living and loving in the knowledge that you have been invited to the kingdom of God's banquet. Each one of you. And it's not just that banquet in the great hereafter, but it is the joyful feast of daily living, acknowledging Christ in your life, participating, knowing the party is about to happen. I pray with gratitude, and that gratitude and grace are ingredients which sustain each of you. Jesus is the host, and you are invited guests. Please RSVP with enthusiasm and delight. And by the way, bring your appetite and your dancing shoes, because it is the best.